This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Nick Wright is right. Last night was the last night you will see the Celtics in that form, I do believe. Jason Tatum, if you missed it, has had surgery to repair a ruptured Achilles tendon. His recovery is now 8 months, maybe, because that's what his hero, Kobe Bryant, did. 8 months. I'm guessing that's where Jason Tatum is going to circle on the calendar. If Kobe can do it in 8 months, I can do it in 8 months. Or it could go more than a year plus, because that's been very common with others. He is one of the younger superstars in the NBA to have this injury. Most of them were in their 30s, whether it was Dominique Wilkins or KD or Kobe. They were all in their 30s. He is 27 years old. But Jason Tatum is beginning the process of returning. The Boston Celtics will play tomorrow night without Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown will begin the process tomorrow night against the Knicks in a must-win game, Fitzy. It's literally a must-win game, because if you lose, the season is over and you go home, and Lord only knows what the offseason brings. So Jaylen Brown begins the process of being the centerpiece. Everybody wants to throw it out there. The big money he makes, this is, you know, why you get the bag, Jason Williams, is why you make $300 million. But another question we have to throw here that Nick Wright is alluding to, what does this mean for the Boston Celtics long term? Let's assume everybody is right and they are not capable now of winning the NBA title. They either lose to the Knicks, or maybe they get to the Pacers, lose to the Pacers, whatever. They come up short of a title. They don't defend their title. There were already discussions about, Bob Chisholm, the new owner, they're going to have to get below the threshold. They're going to have to cut costs. Are they trading Drew Holiday? Are they trading Porzingis? Are they trading Jaylen Brown? Does Al Horford come back? Al Horford was planning on coming back. Does he still plan on coming back to a team that doesn't include its best player, that probably is not a true championship contender? Those are some of the questions that the Celtics and the players involved have to answer sometime in the coming weeks and months, Ted.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting. You and I were talking off air about, like, how does this injury impact, you know, guys' decisions or the team's decision? That's, I don't know. I mean, if I'm the team, it's like, I'd want to keep as many pieces as I could here just in case. I mean, you said Kobe Bryant had an 8 month recovery. If you look at, that would mean Tatum would come back by the end of this January. Mm-hmm. Right. So he could theoretically still come and play
midseason
at the end of next season. So, do you want to blow it up for that? I mean, I think one of the better examples is kind of what you said to me was, Al Horford. Is Al Horford want to come back to a team that doesn't have JT? And I don't know, maybe you're the sixth seed or the fifth seed and you got to, get to the finals through going through that way. Do I want to come back and do that? Maybe not. So, I don't know. I mean, I honestly have no idea, Fitzy, how this is going to fully impact the roster with the new ownership. With this, I have a hard time kind of understanding. I mean, does the team think all of a sudden, no JT, so we need to offload all these guys? Is that a good look for the Celtics? I mean, with Celtic City, I think the Celtics are kind of feeling themselves right now. Went in the whole thing last year. They're highlighted in HBO documentaries. I feel like they kind of view themselves as kind of like the franchise that does it the right way in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And do you want to all of a sudden just start offloading because you don't think that you are any good now that JT's not there? What kind of message does that send to your fan base? So I think they're in a precarious and tricky situation, Fitzy.
Yeah, the New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Lakers, your marquee franchises of North American major sports don't just take years off. They don't just purposely say, unless of course you're the Red Sox, you don't say bridge year, you don't say rebuild year. You always try to compete at the highest level. You know, you're trying to find a way to stay up there, or at least be near the level of excellence that you've established. And the Celtics, though, they've been in all-in mode, and now when the centerpiece, the fulcrum of your all-in extension, is out for probably an entire season, you have to weigh the consequences. Do you actually take the unexpected sell-off year, or do you find a way to stay in it? Yeah, they have a lot of talent, Ted, but like Porzingis and Holiday, they take you into that second apron. Horford, yep, like you said, he's going to be 40. Do they just sell off some parts and like see if they could maybe be a 7-8 seed and chalk it up to, we hung around and we gave our fans a season of heart after Tatum hurt. Like that's a tough That's a tough sell. It's a tough decision for a new owner to make.
See, I think the way you need to spin it and package it is you also have a responsibility to prepare. So you're going to lose two postseasons of Tatum, potentially. Let's just say worst case scenario or bad scenario.
Yep.
He doesn't finish this postseason and you don't have him next year. So you lose two prime of his career seasons of Tatum. You have a responsibility, if you're Brad Stevens, in my opinion, to be prepared when he is healthy in return to be ready to compete for championships again. And I don't think you're doing that with Al Horford.
You're not selling. Okay, good. Sorry.
You need to get rid of or change the demographic of your roster. Al Horford is not going to be around in all likelihood when Jason Tatum is ready to compete for a title again.
And no disrespect. I mean, as important as he is, that's an easy one to put out there.
You know, actuarial tables and ages.
Gotcha. Yep.
Jrue Holiday, probably not going to be competing at the highest level. Those are two guys that combined make a boatload of money. Can you make some moves this year that, yes, may look like a regression, but are really preparing you so that when Tatum returns to full health, you're ready to hit the ground running?
Well, the two guys that you mentioned, I think those are both probably prime examples of guys that they would probably move on.
They could.
Do you think they have guys, bullets in the holster, though, when those two guys leave? I think you can make an argument and they do. I think you could say, well, okay, Peyton Pritchard's, his time is now. Now that, you know, Drew's gone, you can put Peyton Pritchard in there. You know, I don't know, maybe to a lesser degree, but, you know, maybe not with Al Horford, but, you know, my man, my big man, what's his name?
Luke Kornet.
Thank you. Luke Kornet does a serviceable job. He doesn't hit the threes like Al does. He doesn't spread the floor, but he can do some of the stuff that Al Horford does.
Jason Tatum loved him on the pick and rolls. They fell in love with that late in the regular season.
Which is what Al Horford likes to do, too.
So I just, you're going to, if they make moves, yes, will we be stunned and like, oh, they're giving up on next year. It's a bridge year. They're not trying to win. Well, maybe they're trying to win when they think they'll be capable of winning at the highest level again, which involves Jason Tatum. The flip, the other big piece here is what I talked about earlier in my three-point stance is Jaylen Brown. How do you feel about Jaylen Brown? What is Jaylen Brown's role, tomorrow night? That's the immediacy of tomorrow night. Next year without Jason Tatum, but then when Jason Tatum returns, are you keeping those two pillars together long-term, or is that another chip that you could, because that's the biggest chip. That's the toughest one. If you traded Jaylen Brown this offseason, I don't think you can, personally. I don't think you can lose Jaysen Tatum for the year and trade Jaylen Brown.
The fan base would go nuts.
As they should.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's a very superficial thing to read. But, I mean, I guess you could do it if you got a superstar in return.
I don't even understand why, other than to save money. Like, there'd be no reason other than to save money.
That would be the reason. Okay, yeah,
it's not a good reason.
To reset the books, to use Bill's term. Reset the books next year. Oh, Tatum's out, so we can reset the books. Yeah. We're not going to win anyway. Reset the apron, those type. Because Wick Grosbeck told the Greg Hill Show, Fitzy, no team will stay above the second apron for more than 2 years in the NBA. So if you're resetting the books, that doesn't mean you won't go above the second apron again in a couple years under Bill Chisholm when Jason Tatum's back. It just means right now, maybe you're being frugal or smart or, you know, good business, taking advantage of the opportunity that was unfortunately presented by this injury.
Yeah, so you're obviously the line of, like, we'll get paid in parades is now officially out the window for this season. Mm. And it's more than likely out the window for next year as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you have a chance to reset the books, you do so. But that means you might not be leaving Pritchard and Hauser and Brown and whoever else decides to stay with enough talent to compete at a top of the conference level. So, you know, you get used to being middle of the pack and, you know, aiming for 48 wins. Unless now, don't forget, the trade for Jrue Holiday kind of came out of the blue because they were able to offload some parts and they got rid of Time Lord, and in came Jrue Holiday, which was a very necessary veteran championship caliber component. If they're going to offload Holiday, Porzingis, maybe some other components, what do you think they'll need most? Size? Are they going to need a power forward? Are they going to need a shooter? I think they're probably going to want to go with a consistent shooter as well, because look at this is Missoula ball. Do you think he's really going to revamp his entire coaching philosophy?
No, and that's you got Hauser. You know, you got who's
fine. He's just a good complementary player.
What you're saying
player.
Is like maybe do you take advantage and take a couple steps back and then, but you need to take two steps forward quickly to get, because Tatum's going to be ready in 2027. So
yes.
It's like you want to take 1 year off, careful. Taking a year off might mean not being where you need to be for the next 3 years.
But this is where, again, Wick Grosbeck told the Greg Hill Show they're lucky to have Brad Stevens. He's the best in the business. He knows the players that are available. The Derek White trade. He thought Derek White was one of the key pieces to finish this team, and he was right.
And me, and Brad Stevens.
And you. Okay, you and Brad. Teddy, victory lap over here. And so he probably has guys on lists where he's like, if this happened, this is the guy I want. And Fitzy, to answer your question, I think it's a stretch five. It's a spacing big. It's a big who can shoot. Because if you get rid of Horford and Porzingis, those are two bigs that can shoot, that space the floor, that do a lot of things. If those guys are not part of this team, some version of those guys needs to be part of this team. Yeah. Down the road. And I don't know who that is. Do I go back to rooting for Miles Turner? He's probably a little old at this point. He was my dream like 5 years ago. But players like that, I think you need to have in the pipeline preparing for whatever. Because I'm assuming Joe Mazzulla's the coach. That's the other weird thing here.
Yeah.
Things go south fast in the NBA.
That's what I was
wondering. That's Brad's guy, though.
Yeah, it is Brad's guy, but things go south stiz quickly in the NBA. You can go from coach of the year, winning a title, to oh my God, this team fired that coach 18 months later or something. We've seen it.
And put the Tatum injury aside. I think a lot of people were blaming Joe Mazzulla for how this was going. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Losing to the Knicks.
Yes, this postseason?
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
So, and we can say, you know who learned this lesson very quickly? Gerard Mayo. We say a lot of things. Oh, Gerard, you got 3 years. You're going to be great at this. And then when you live through the bad, and I'm not saying it's going to be terrible next year. I have a lot of faith in Jaylen Brown. You guys know that. I think Jaylen, that's the other, the texter brought this up. Jaylen Brown's future is at a bit of a crossroads here too. If he now has the rest of this postseason and then next year, assuming he's here in Boston to be the guy, we're going to look at him differently in 12 months, right? Better or worse. Either, oh my God, he's Robin. He couldn't do the job without Batman, or, did Robin just put on the bat suit and take over?
And then here comes the old Batman coming in, limping a little bit and being like, hey, I'm Batman. No, I'm Batman.
You've been gone a long time. Things aren't the same as when you left. So there's a lot of
stuff.
It is. And this is why sports are fascinating and they change in a hurry. Let's go back to the phone lines because I'm intrigued. Sometimes I don't care necessarily what the subject line says, but sometimes I'm very much intrigued. And Kurt in Tampa, Florida, bring back Marcus Smart. Kurt, what are your thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, I don't know. I think honestly, bringing back Marcus Smart, like it's like for Drew Holiday, almost like just trading back. His salary's $10 million less per year, so you save a little bit of money. And honestly, like, I think if he was in this series with the Knicks, I think he would help them a lot defensively right now.
Well, I don't think
I don't hate that idea at all.
But, I mean, you can't make the trade before. I mean, there's a series going on. He wouldn't help you against the Knicks. He can't help
you. Not this
You'd year. Be bringing him in for next year, an expiring contract after the year.
I think that's silly talk.
I don't love the idea. I like your idea better. Like, if Drew Holiday is leaving, to me that opens up the door for Peyton Pritchard to get that, you know, that opportunity where everybody said on another team he might start. Okay, start him here and see. He's not going to be good defensively. As good. He's not as good as Drew Holiday defensively.
No. Okay.
He's better offensively.
But Marcus Smart. I just don't think. I think it's not even close. Peyton Pritchard is a better player than Marcus Smart.
Yes.
Smart is right now.
Yes.
So I don't understand why bringing him back would be.
And he's a better defender than people think.
Absolutely.
He's not a great defender. I don't think he's a shutdown defender.
But he's more than serviceable.
Yes. Now, there was also just a quick getting back to last night's game. Did you see when he was trying to box out Karl Anthony Towns and he just shoved him down like a little kid? And I was like, isn't that a foul? Like, he grabbed it and he put the ball back. And I'm like, isn't that kind of the definition? He didn't jump over his back, but he shoved the guy in front of him to and Peyton Pritchard just made a face like, I don't know what you want me to
do. Can I get some help here?
There's nothing I can do there. He's much larger than me. But that would be something if you want to look for the optimism of opportunity that is here for the Celtics. Peyton Pritchard might be number one on my list. We'll find out. We can now find out, and you might find out, Fitzy, do you want to invest in him? Is he worth more money in a longer-term deal?
And Joe's a believer in him. Gave him opportunities, and he got a big fat, you know, for him, a big fat contract.
It's an absolute steal by how much he's played, what he contributed in his sixth man of the year status. For what it's worth, Marcus Smart is owed $21.6 million next year in 2025, 2026, and after that, he is an unrestricted free agent for whatever that may count. If they want to have some sort of Patriots reclamation highway, bring back one of our old guys, slash Milan Lucic. Hey, bright, shiny fan service object over here, Celtics fans.
I also don't like what that would do to Jaylen Brown. Like I just said, he gets an opportunity to be the guy. Now you bring back this former leader guy that sort of changes the dynamic. I want no part of that. No. We're playing talk radio here. Actually, we're doing talk radio here. We're not playing it. But the text line wants to play a little talk radio. So I'm going to throw these are from the text line, so nobody yell at me. These are you, the listeners, taking part in the show. 617-779-7937.
We know we trust them with our lives.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyone thinking trading Tatum is an option? Trade Tatum and KP to Dallas for Flag.
Andy, are you crazy? Why are you bringing up this stupid, stupid stuff?
I love it.
Okay, so let's give it the 10 seconds it deserves.
Yeah.
Why would Dallas do that? They're going to trade for KP, who's always hurt, and they already had him.
Have you seen what Dallas has been doing lately?
Yeah, but now they're getting Cooper Flagg, a generational talent.
They might trade away.
They're not going to trade that away. They're going to keep Cooper Flagg because he's a generational talent. You're going
to trade him
away.
To us.
Now it's for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Anyway, so Cooper Flagg is going to Dallas. It was rigged by the NBA, you goofs. It was rigged. It was part of the long con.
All right,
frozen envelope. Just to answer the question, there's no way in hell they would, because Tatum is everything they want this organization to represent.
Yeah.
Just the way he goes about his business, who he is as a person, they're not going to trade away a guy that basically is the poster child for what their organization represents.
Stiz, what did you – I'm not sure if you said it on air or in my ear. I know you want the listeners to hear that. What does Jason Tatum stand for?
Soft.
Wow.
Hey, listen, I love Tatum and T's and
P's. I can tell.
No one wanted this injury. But I texted this to the group chat last night. Watching Brunson over this series, every time the camera would pan to Brunson, he looked like he was ready to kill somebody. And I feel like we just never got that with Tatum. That was the stuff that we've been talking about for the past few months, that he just doesn't have that dog in him.
Okay, so you didn't like the option of trading Tatum and KP to Dallas for Flag, the number one pick. Okay, we'll cross that out. I got a Sharpie. How about a simple four-word text from the 207? Giannis to the Celtics.
Doesn't interest me.
That doesn't interest me either.
It just doesn't.
Anyone? He's an MVP champion.
In absence of Jason Tatum, what do you... You'd have to give up everything else and it would be Jaylen Brown, Giannis, and then a bunch of G Leaguers.
Yeah, I hate Giannis.
Bring his brother. You got to bring his brother.
Oh, yeah,
you
got to bring his brother. That's true.
You can't have Joe Mazzulla as the coach. Giannis, has he ever taken he's taken threes, but that's just not
his. Yeah, no, it's not good.
It doesn't fit what they try.
That's a great point. If you want to bring in Giannis, you probably have to get rid of Joe Mazzulla.
Horrible system.
Yeah, it's a bad fit. And I don't want to watch Giannis with the Celtics. I hate watching him play. He plays bully ball.
Yeah.
He just puts his head down.
It's like running backs going through those drills with the arms that, you know, slapping at you.
Yep, the old gauntlet. The old gauntlet. That's what he treats basketball as. Yeah. And I don't think he pairs up well with Jaylen Brown necessarily.
That style of play, it won't age well.
No.
You can't be, you know, playing football like you're a linebacker your whole career and expect to be doing it just as good at the end of your career as you were at the beginning.
Okay, so I don't know if these are real or not, but I'm going to read it anyway because I have the 508 chiming in. I'm pretty sure this is a joke, so take it as that. This is a joke from the text line.
Okay, let's see if it's funny.
Reports say that Joe Mazzulla was in the recovery room waiting for Tatum to wake up. When Tatum woke up, Mazzulla simply whispered in his ear, "Get up." It's not terrible, right?
He embraced his darkness.
We are embracing the darkness here on WEEI Afternoons. Jason Tatum has had surgery to repair his torn Achilles. The Celtics will face the Knicks tomorrow night at TD Garden. Jaylen Brown gets his first opportunity to step up, as does the rest of the roster. And Joe Mazzulla gets his chance to coach him up without his star player. Lots of opportunities tomorrow at the Garden. We get one last opportunity here on WEEI Afternoons to hear Dan Ball and what's trending.
Now, of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons coming up on 5:30 here, and we've been so wrapped up in Jason Tatum news, the injury, the surgery, what the Celtics are going to do. I was hesitant or lacking in my hosting duties that little abbreviated show. We got Red Sox Tigers tonight, so we'll be out of here for the start of the Mass Mutual pregame show at about 5:40.
Hopefully tonight goes better than last night.
Those Tigers pretty good.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty good. And at least for last night's game, those Red Sox were pretty bad. I know we're going to fixate on Houck, but the defense wasn't good. Like, there wasn't a lot
Bray,
good.
Ooh, let that ball get by him.
I was listening to my guy Lou Merlone, who made his debut in the Sox booth here on WEEI, and that was a tough debut game for him, too.
Brutal.
It was over in the third inning, basically. He scored 9 runs with it. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Put a pin in it.
Pretty
much. We still got to go 9 innings.
And I like them getting winning the series over KC. KC Royals, man, that team looks good.
Yeah, well, guess what?
They're good.
The Red Sox look good sometimes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they look bad sometimes. And this is becoming an identity for them over the last year plus. Just this infuriating, ooh, we've played 2 games well. I even heard Alex Cora. He's like, yeah, we're pitching well. We're starting to play well. We're moving in the right direction. And then
not so
sad
fast.
Trombone or whatever the hell that game was last night. So we're coming up here on Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Fitzy, you had a good idea for a poll today. So I posted it, as we do often here, you know, at Jumbo Heart or at WEEI Afternoons. Mm-hmm. We do mostly a daily poll. Sometimes, I'll be honest, I forget, and we don't do one. But today's, in light of the Jason Tatum injury, which Boston team do you now believe is closest to its next title? And the voting, obviously the 4 answers, and I know other people get mad that I don't include other teams. I include the big 4. It's Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots, and Bruins.
I am surprised by the outcome of this.
So the winner of the poll, Fitzy, you want to guess?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess the Patriots by a narrow margin over the Celtics.
The New England Patriots got 35% of the vote, which is indeed a narrow margin over 33% for the Boston Celtics, which is another narrow margin over the Red Sox at 28%.
Okay.
And then the Bruins were others receiving votes at 4%. No one thinks the Bruins are close. So the Patriots.
Yeah, when you think about it, it's not the craziest outcome of that poll, now that you think about it.
Is it how you would have voted?
Yeah, you know, I'd probably give the Red Sox a little bit more love.
Yeah, I would have voted for the Red Sox in this poll because they're not playing great. They're hanging around in the AL East, but I think they have the pieces, if it all kind of falls into place, to do it this year.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. Yeah. Like, I think they have I'm not saying it's going to fall into place, and it doesn't look like on a nightly basis it is falling into place.
If you just said to me, okay, the Red Sox, they got to love the ones they're with, this is the team for the whole season, I'd say, okay, maybe not. But, oh, wait a minute, you got 2 more guys, 2 more studs waiting to be called up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Red Sox, to me, it is frustrating because I think this team has so much more potential than just being a game over 500 at this point. But I think would agree with you is why the Red Sox would be the team most likely to is because they still got young guys that they are just, you know, waiting to bring up.
Right.
Once they come here, we're all expecting them to be difference makers.
So, Fitzy, clearly you sort of agree with the Patriots vote here.
I do, and this is sadly the Patriots. My hope, my dream is 10 wins next season.
Yeah,
and we'll find out exactly how they could get there when the schedule gets released with minimal leaks thus far for the Patriots. Surprisingly, tomorrow night 8 p.m.
So yeah, the schedule release. Do you like that at all?
I love it.
Really?
Not the drips and drabs, but I love it. Well, you know what? Because it does. You know what? If I put it to you this way, does it change your opinion on it? Every player is really every Patriot player wants to see what the schedule looks like.
Why? So you can see when we're in Miami and when we're in Buffalo. Is that
doesn't that matter?
When I first moved back into the city of Boston after taking a lot of time away and down in Houston, I came back 2018. And I'm the only, felt like the only person who was saying, wait a minute, you guys, the Patriots figured this out. They had a bad loss against the Steelers in December of that year, if you guys remember. But they had 2 home games against the Jets and the Buffalo Bills before the Bills had Josh Allen. And I was like, oh, something clicked in their offense. I could see it. Boom. I said, they're going to be on their way. And then they went and they played the San Diego Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chargers had to fly out to Baltimore the week before and play in an AFC wildcard game. They beat the Ravens. Had to fly all the way back to San Diego and then fly all the way back out.
Yeah.
And I said, it's not even going to be the talent between the two teams. Clearly, if you look at the roster for the Chargers, was way more a better roster than the Patriots. But I got the external factors were going to play a part in deciding who won that game, and the Patriots blew them out because of those external factors. So I'm making a long kind of way to get to my point, which
long
is,
story, good story.
External forces are also important, I think, in deciding whether you're going to win or lose. I have let go of the West Coast team coming to the East Coast playing that 1 o'clock game.
Yes,
I used to think that was really not advantageous for the West Coast teams. But that's not an issue anymore. So I'm looking for those little things, the external factors that I see in the schedule that might benefit or not benefit the Patriots when I'm looking at their chances this year.
Well, I can't wait till Wednesday's show when we'll do the win.
Well,
win,
no, that's
loss.
Thursday. Show, right?
I mean Thursday's show. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, win, loss, and you can tell me why and all.
Stuff.
I can't wait to see the notepads you'll have and all the reasons why you'll be doing it. But Dan Ball. I see your hand raised. Is this to defend the Bruins, to vote for the Bruins?
No, I think 3% is too generous for the Bruins. That's about 4% too generous.
Really?
Yeah.
I could make an argument for the Bruins if you asked me.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, they have David Pastrnak, who is an MVP Hart Trophy caliber scorer.
Yeah.
They have McAvoy, who's supposed to be an elite defenseman.
Supposed to be.
They have a goalie who you decided was worthy of a top five contract in the NHL. Right there, you have foundational pillars to build around. They have other players, Lindholm and others, who are making good money. They have $30 million in cap space. They have a top seven pick in the draft that they can trade. Like, I don't think it's crazy to say if everything fell into place for them that they could be a...
Who's coaching them?
Top the coach.
That's a great question. That's an unreal question.
Whoever the coach is that they hire, but the really good coach who's going to get the most out of the roster that I just described. I like the Patriots. And it's weird that I think they were probably underrated at some point when you put Vrabel and talent and put the pieces together. Now it feels like it might be going the other way and people are expecting too much too soon out of the Patriots to say they're the closest team in Boston to a title. I mean, hell, the Celtics could win the title this year. If Jaylen Brown takes over a $300 million basketball player, there's no saying the road may be getting easier. The Cavs are going to get bumped. Your OKC team could be bumped.
Yep.
Speaking of getting bumped, I think that music means we're getting bumped off the show. Stick around for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Christian Arcand will have all your news and notes about the Boston Red Sox. He'll have the lock, which hopefully the lock of the night will be that they're not as bad as they were last night in Detroit. Lou Merlone's in the booth. That's always a great listen. And we'll be back on Wednesday down at Scores, where we'll be previewing Celtics-Knicks, see if the Celtics can extend their season just a bit. We'll talk to Scal. I think we might talk to Mego. It'll be live, fun. Ted is great live. So 2-6, WEEI down to Scores.
Wear your JB jersey.
And I might have my JB jersey on. That's all tomorrow, WEEI Afternoons.